Our reading today is Hebrews 3, verses 7 to 19. You can find that on your piece of paper. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. This is God's word.
Caroline, thank you so much for reading for us. Good evening. Let's pray for God's help this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we can hear you speak to us today through it. Father, we pray that your spirit would give us soft hearts tonight. Help me as I proclaim these words and help us all to receive what you have to say to us by giving us soft hearts this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The end of last week's passage left us on a bit of a cliffhanger. In verse 6, the author says, we are God's house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. And he says something similar in this evening's passage. Have a look with me at verse 14. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. These verses might make some of us a bit uncomfortable. If our sharing in Christ depends on our holding on to him in faith until the very end, that is, until either Christ returns or we die, whichever comes first, doesn't it mean that we can lose our salvation? And therefore, doesn't this verse undermine our eternal security? The doctrine of once saved, always saved. By the way, if this is a question you've never considered before, you might be wondering why it even matters. The reason it matters is this. There are many passages in the New Testament which speak about the certainty of the believer's salvation. They teach very clearly that a believer cannot lose their salvation. So if these verses in Hebrews are indeed claiming that a believer can lose their salvation, evidently that would be a contradiction. And as a result, not only would we be left confused, we might also be left anxious about the serious possibility of losing our salvation. So this is obviously an important question. And to answer it, I want us to look again at verse 14, but this time a bit more carefully. Let's read verse 14 again. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Note what the author doesn't say. He doesn't say, we will come to share in Christ. if we hold firmly to the very end. Rather, he says, we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold firmly to the very end. It's really important to notice that distinction. The author isn't saying that holding firmly onto Christ is what causes us to share in him, that is, to be his spiritual brother or sister. Rather, he's saying that our holding onto Christ until the very end proves that we really were his spiritual brother or sister all along. So our holding onto Christ in faith is simply the evidence of our truly belonging to him. Holding on to him in faith until the very end, it confirms the genuineness of our faith. Conversely, the person who doesn't hold on to Christ in faith until the end, but rather forsakes him, was never Christ's brother or sister in the first place. So they didn't lose their salvation. They were never saved to begin with. Even if their faith really looked genuine, it was just a really good counterfeit. So can we lose our salvation? No. Not if our faith is genuine. And the mark of a genuine faith is its perseverance. So we see why the author is telling us to keep holding firmly onto Christ. It's not so that we won't lose our salvation. It's so that we will be shown to be Christ's true brothers and sisters by our persevering faith. Since it's only those with a persevering faith who are saved, what will become of those who do not have a persevering faith and are thus shown not to be Christ's brother or sister? They will not enter God's rest. What will happen to those who do not have a persevering faith? They will not enter God's rest. That's our first point. Unbelievers will not enter God's rest. I think it's crucial for us to remember that the warning we're about to consider was not written to heathens, but to Christians. If we don't remember that, we might be tempted not to take the warning seriously. And by the way, I know how much we hate warnings. Warnings can be unpleasant. They bruise our pride. When someone warns you about something, there's an implication that you lack a certain level of judgment or discernment or knowledge or wisdom or maturity. Or why else would they warn you? So warnings can make us feel like we're being condescended to. And nobody enjoys that. So the tempting thing to do is when we hear a warning, it's to put our guard up and not pay attention to it. But warnings are essential and can even be life-saving. They can often prevent us from hurting ourselves. Picture a father finding his two-year-old daughter playing with a carving knife in the kitchen. What would you expect him to do? To turn a blind eye? To allow his daughter to continue playing with it because he doesn't want to spoil her fun? Of course not. That would be insane. You would rightly expect him to take the knife away from her and to warn her not to play with it again. Why? Because he loves her. Because he cares about her. Similarly, when God warns us in his word, he does so because he loves us and cares about us as his children. So we should heed his warnings. How does God warn us in tonight's passage? He does so by reminding us of the past. In verses 7 to 11, we find a quotation of Psalm 95, which recalls the time spent by the Israelites in the wilderness. That is, the 40 years between their being rescued from slavery in Egypt and their entering the promised land. What happened during that time? God miraculously protected them and provided for them, didn't he? And how did they respond? They grumbled. Instead of praising God for his rescue and trusting him to get them to the promised land, they complained. They said they preferred living as slaves in Egypt than living in the wilderness under God's provision and protection. Although he had brought them out of slavery, they weren't willing to trust that he'd also bring them out of the wilderness. Psalm 95 provides a little commentary on that season. And by quoting it here, the author of Hebrews wants us to know that God is speaking to us today, warning us not to become like that wilderness generation. Why? Because of their fate. What was it? Look with me at verse 11. God says, "So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." What was their fate? They failed to enter God's rest, that is, the promised land. Why? Have a look down at verse 18. "And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed?" So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Why did they not enter God's rest? Because of their unbelief. They stopped trusting God, which led to their obstinately and repeatedly disobeying him. They were shown not to have a persevering faith. And you know what made the unbelief so shocking? See if you can spot the reasons as we read verses 7 to 9. "So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did." What made the unbelief so shocking? First, it was that they had heard God's voice. They had heard God speak to them through Moses and then out of the fire. And second, it was that they had witnessed all God had done for them. They had witnessed how he parted the Red Sea so that they could safely pass through. They had witnessed how he provided them food through the manna and quail in the desert. They had witnessed how he provided them drink through the drawing of water from a rock. And they had witnessed how he defeated their enemies. The Israelites had 40 years worth of evidence of God's faithfulness towards them. Yet they lost their faith in him. Do we see how their example serves as a warning to us? We mustn't allow history to repeat itself. Just as they heard God's voice in the wilderness, we too are hearing God's voice in the wilderness. The wilderness of this temporary world. And just as God rescued them from slavery, he's rescued us from slavery, the slavery of sin and death. We have so much evidence of God's faithfulness towards us. God has demonstrated it through his Son, our apostle and high priest, through whom he speaks to us. Friends, how will we respond to all that God has done for us? Will we be like the Israelites who didn't persevere in faith, thereby tragically missing out on God's rest? Or will we persevere in faith, thereby entering God's glorious rest? What will happen to those who do not have a persevering faith? They will not enter God's rest. So how can we avoid becoming like the unbelieving Israelites who failed to enter God's rest? We need to ensure daily that we do not harden our hearts towards God, but encourage one another. That's our second point. Today, don't harden your hearts, but encourage one another. Did you notice the repetition of the word today during the reading? It appears in verse 7, verse 13, and verse 15. And each time it's mentioned, it's attached to an imperative. So in verses 7 and 15, it says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." And in verse 13, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. Why the emphasis on doing these things daily or today? I think what comes up later in Hebrews, in chapter 6, verse 12, is really helpful. It says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. I think one reason the author emphasizes today is that there is a propensity for us to become lazy or complacent in our faith. And a complacent faith often dwells either in the past or in the future. What do I mean? Instead of focusing on strengthening our faith today, we sometimes focus on what our faith was like in the past, or what we hope it'll be like in the future. So a person whose faith dwells in the past complacently takes comfort from the fact that they've been baptized or that they once prayed a prayer of salvation. But they're not really prioritizing their faith today. Indeed, they think because once saved, always saved, that they don't need to. Why is that so dangerous? A past faith doesn't save. A persevering one does. What about a person whose faith dwells in the future? That person complacently takes hope from the fact that takes comfort from the hope that there'll be a devout, committed Christian tomorrow instead of today. So they'll say, oh, I'll be a committed Christian after I finish uni, or after I get married, or after I have kids, or after I retire. That's when I'll get serious about Jesus. Now, friends, that person might even be very happy to come to church every Sunday. However, during the week, there isn't really much prioritizing of their faith, of their walk with Jesus. Why is that dangerous? Over time, the little faith you have now could wane, and you could end up drifting into unbelief. Brothers and sisters, we need to be cautious about being content either with the faith we once had or with the faith we one day hope to have. Rather, we need to prioritize our faith in the Lord Jesus today. In what way are we to do that? By not hardening our hearts, as it says in verses 7 and 15. What does the author mean when he tells us not to harden our hearts? I think he means we should trust God and obey him when he speaks to us, instead of stubbornly thinking we know better and doing things our own way. According to verse 7, the Holy Spirit speaks to us today, and he does so through God's written word. Since we hear him speaking, let's trust and obey him. If we don't, our hearts will grow hard and we will drift away from him. That's why it says there in verse 12, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. A heart that hardens itself against God by disobeying him when he speaks risks turning away from him forever. It risks becoming an unbelieving heart. And as we've seen, unbelievers will not enter God's rest. So how can we avoid becoming like the unbelieving Israelites who fail to enter God's rest? We need to ensure daily that we do not harden our hearts towards God when he speaks to us in his word. But that's not all. God also wants us to help one another as we do this. He wants us to help one another, not harden our hearts towards him. Have a look with me at verse 13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Friends, faith is a community project, not a solo one. We need each other's help. Why is it so important that we encourage one another? It's because sin is deceitful. It makes huge promises, yet ultimately only leads to death. The wilderness generation were deceived by sin. They thought it better to be in slavery than to be free. The world today also thinks it better to be in slavery to sin than to be free. Because we are all constantly tempted to join the world in believing sin's lies, we must encourage one another daily. Every day, sin is launching an assault on us to give in to its deception. We need each other as we fight it. Just over a week ago, a pastor and theology professor at an evangelical Bible college in Portugal, who's in his mid-30s, posted a picture of himself and a friend on his Facebook page. As I saw the photo, I was a bit surprised by how close he and his friend were standing together. His friend had his arm around him and his lips on his cheek. It was pretty clear from the photo that these men were more than just friends. But I was struggling to believe what my eyes were seeing. In my head, I was thinking, wait, I know this guy. He's a pastor. He's a professor at an evangelical Bible college. This can't be. But it was. If his photo wasn't clear enough, his caption was even clearer. This was his coming out to the world. Verse 13 says, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Do you know what happened to that pastor? He was hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He knows what God's word says about the life he's chosen to live. But instead of trusting God and living his way, he has chosen to live his own way. Sin, that old slave master, deceived him by promising him happiness if he'd return to it. And he believed it. Friends, let's not underestimate just how deceiving sin can be. Now, I don't know the whole story of that pastor. I don't know if he had Christians around him, encouraging him, exhorting him daily not to be deceived by sin and to keep trusting Jesus. I don't know if he was open about his struggles with others so that they could encourage him to resist temptation. But I do know this. If he did open up about his struggles and temptations, and he did have Christians around him encouraging him to keep trusting Jesus, he would have been much less likely to turn away from God than if he didn't. Friends, are there particular sins that we struggle with as individuals? If there are, let's keep fighting them. Let's persevere instead of hardening our hearts as the Israelites did, who eventually embraced rebellion against God. And if we do have particular sins we struggle with, why don't we open up about them to other Christians who can encourage us daily to keep following Jesus? Brothers and sisters, we need one another. No one here is exempt from needing daily encouraging in their faith. No one. If you aren't already, I wonder if you'll consider regularly encouraging others in their faith. And I wonder if you'll also welcome or even invite the regular encouragement of your own faith from others. Because unbelievers will not enter God's rest, let's see to it that we do not harden our hearts to God's word, but encourage one another daily in our faith. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us to take this warning seriously. This letter was given to Christians, not to heathens. Father, forgive us if our faith has been living either in the past or in the future. Father, help us to prioritize our faith today, as long as it is called today. Father, help us to encourage one another daily in our faith. And Father, we pray that we'd also be open to being encouraged by others. We need one another, Father. We pray that we'd remember that, so that as brothers and sisters, we can help one another to persevere in our faith in the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please remain seated as the band comes up to play our final song, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.